I want to share with you that I moved into a new apartment this week. This is a bigger and more complicated thing than most of my moves and the moves my family have endured in our recent past, and it's part of this emergence of a new single me. This experience isn't something I chose or would have chosen, so this move is just one part of a series of changes that I hadn't anticipated in my life. I'm being given an opportunity to explore my identity, my place in the world, in ways that are at least less likely to be happening when life is just moving forward as expected. And so this morning, after spending a couple of weeks inventorying and the last 2 days packing and moving, I decided to let go of some of my perfectionistic tendencies and celebrate the month of risk by exploring some extemporaneous preaching. But only some. There's a few pages here. Since this is also the month that we're doing our annual budget drive, and we're talking about caterpillars and butterflies, I want to start by sharing something that I read about what happens inside a cocoon or a chrysalis. So this is from the Scientific American website, which is one of my sacred texts. First, the caterpillar digests itself. First, the caterpillar digests itself, releasing enzymes to dissolve all of its tissues. If you were to cut open a cocoon or a chrysalis at just the right time, caterpillar soup would ooze out. But the contents of the pupa are not entirely an amorphous mass. Certain highly organized groups of cells, known as imaginal discs, survive the digestive process. Before hatching, when a caterpillar is still developing inside its egg, it grows an imaginal disc for each of the adult body parts it will need as a mature butterfly or moth. Discs for its eyes, for its wings, for its legs. In some species, these imaginal discs remain dormant throughout the caterpillar's life. In other species, the discs begin to take the shape of adult body parts even before the caterpillar forms a chrysalis or cocoon. Some caterpillars walk around with tiny rudimentary wings tucked inside their bodies, though you would never know it by looking at them. Once a caterpillar has disintegrated all of its tissues, except for the imaginal discs, these discs use the protein-rich soup all around them to fuel the rapid cell division required to form the wings, antenna, legs, eyes, genitals, and all the other features of an adult butterfly or moth. The imaginal disc for a fruit fly's wing, for example, might begin with only 50 cells and increase to more than 50,000 cells by the end of metamorphosis. Depending on the species, certain caterpillar muscles and sections of the nervous system are largely preserved in the adult butterfly. One study even suggests that moths remember what they learned in later stages of their lives as caterpillars. That blew my mind. Caterpillar soup? I mean, can you imagine? Right? The entire thing eats itself. And there's these cells in it that are not digestible that know what the caterpillar is going to become. They have little everything seeds inside them. Right? Imaginal cells. So this feels like the thing to talk about during the spring equinox. Right, of all times, the time of balance between light and dark, of what was and what will be, right before the days become longer than the nights. This is the shortest night coming up in a couple of nights. And in pagan traditions, the turning of the wheel of the year, that is right now, the spring equinox, is marked with Astara, the Sabbat that honors this time of awakening, of fertility, of resurrection, like a caterpillar to a butterfly. A shifting of energy from the sluggishness of winter to the exuberant expansion of spring. Change is everywhere. So I want to invite you to take a look at the cover of your order of service. This image is the essence of emergence. And if you can't see it, or you're having trouble seeing it, it's a sketch of this woman. And she is, it's a profile sketch, and she is sort of sitting, kneeling perhaps, and out of her head are sprouting branches and leaves. And if you saw this in color, they would be these vivid greens. Branches and leaves sprouting out from her hair up above her. And she's sitting up very, very straight. And her belly is big with child. And her legs are under the surface of the earth. And from her buttocks and her knees and her ankles and her feet come roots. Roots that are growing down into the earth that she is embedded in. And I wonder, when I look at that canopy sprouting out from her head, I wonder what is in our heads just waiting to emerge, to blossom into this spring as Ostara rolls around. And I notice, as I wonder about that, I notice that that must be heavy. And I notice how straight she's sitting up. Right, holding up this huge canopy over her head. And I notice a hand on her pregnant belly. There'll be another emergence soon, right? She's not just blossoming from her head. And I wonder about the story that has led her to this place of being embedded in the ground with a canopy sprouting from her head and a baby in her belly. And then I look at her feet and her legs and her buttocks, and I see all these roots, and I think, oh, right, we're grounded too, right? We have roots that we need to nourish, roots that receive the rain of imagination and the rain of comradeship and companionship and the rain and the blessings of everything around us, these roots that nourish us as we grow canopies from our heads. And it makes me think about these two themes in emergence, in this idea of emergence. The idea that there is a creation of something new or something different, at least, right? Like a butterfly out of a caterpillar. Something new out of something that only holds potential to some level. And often it looks completely different, right? In our story, the kids saw a picture, a sketch of an acorn with a tiny little tree inside it, but we know there isn't a tiny formed tree inside an acorn, right? We know it's just, well, it's endosperm, and it's food, and it's, you know, it's all like solid caterpillar soup inside there. And that becomes a tree, right? Something completely different. Caterpillars to butterflies, seeds to plants, even the universe itself, right? From that everything seed, whatever that was 14 and a half billion years ago that sparked that great radiance, whatever that was, it held everything we are in it already. So that's the one theme, the creation of something new or different in amazing ways. And the other, those roots, I keep coming back to those roots, the grounding that has to happen before emergence, before and during emergence. Carl Sagan once famously said, If you wish to make an apple pie from scratch, you must first invent the universe. Do seeds and bulbs know what beauty they will create as they grow into plants and make those amazing reproductive structures that we call flowers? Do caterpillars know, do you think, what's going to happen inside their bodies, inside that cocoon? And if they did, do you think they'd still do it? Do we know, any of us, what's in store for us any given day? What would we choose not to step into if we knew how we were going to be stirred up in the process? And what would we still choose to step into? What would we be willing to risk if we knew the steps it would take to get there, and how would that transformation feel? This is what Gordon McKeeman is talking about in the piece Virginia read for us. We don't ever know what we're going to touch when we reach out. One of the things I'm learning in my life right now is that letting people know what is going on for me personally, that I am in this state of grief and anxiety and having to reimagine my life in ways I never ever thought I would have to. One of the things that happens is that doors are opened up to conversations I never would have had otherwise. Leading with my heart, with my vulnerability in my interactions, it like gives people permission to do the same thing. And we have these deep, rich conversations, much, much deeper, much more real than if we had started with something like, you know, the weather, something easier, something maybe a little more socially acceptable, right? When we reach out into the unknown, we can find and we can be found. Of course, there's no guarantee that will happen. And sometimes it doesn't happen easily or at all. And that's why it's a risk. And so I leave you with some questions to ponder or to talk about with our young people when they come back, because boy, they are full of energy today. What seeds or imaginal cells are waiting inside of you? And in what are you rooted that will support you as those seeds and imaginal cells turn into whatever's next? And what are you willing to do to find out? Let's talk about that. For now, I wish you blessings on that journey and deep understanding that you are, and we are, each of us, more than capable of meeting the risks that are thrust upon us and the risks that we choose, because both of those things happen. May it be so. May we be so.